other guest teachers over these many years. Ari Lathouris has been practicing meditation for 25 plus years, in mostly in the Tibetan tradition. Her teachers have included Pema Chodron, and now Pema Chodron's teacher, Dzigar Khantrul Rinpoche. And so Ari teaches in the East Bay and around, and is also a sign language interpreter for her day job. And it's always a pleasure to have you with us, Ari. So welcome.
Thank you, Carl. Hi, everyone. My ice pack keeps falling, so feel like I should be able to say something important after that introduction. Let's see. I've been thinking a lot about opinions lately, so I decided to title this talk, "The Tyranny of Opinions." So I've just thinking about how much a part of our human mind is conditioned towards forming opinions. I don't know about you, but you could ask me for an opinion about just about anything, and I could come up with one, maybe even more than one. And I think this is just part of how we function as human beings. Our minds are constantly forming judgments and opinions and having perspectives on things. And there's nothing, you know, basically wrong with that, because it is how we function as humans. And I like this one book title. I forgot who the author is. It is a Dharma teacher. And the title is "Open Mouth, Already a Mistake." So I like to try to keep that in mind when I feel myself jerking into some strong opinion about something. But, you know, opinions in and of themselves are not the problem. It's our attachment and relationship to the opinions, just like it is our attachment and relationship to a lot of things and the way our minds function. So I know sometimes if we feel right about something, we can get kind of a little high from it. And then it feels to me like it's almost like feeding an addiction, because there's like this immediate gratification, but then you crash, and then it's sort of anticlimactic, because often that's an opinion between two people. And I think when we're in that kind of struggle to be right, we're often breaking the connection with the person, and it takes us away from intimacy instead of closer to other people. So I think that's another way that opinions can be painful to us. And it's also seems to be part of the human condition of self-absorption. And as we know from so many of the Buddhist teachings, that any kind of self-absorption just leads to suffering. So using opinions as a way of being, you know, kind of obsessed with ourselves or building our ego is another way of leading us to more suffering and more divisiveness between people. And we can see this from the political scale and a national or international level, how divisive things are based on opinions, all the way down to, you know, a silly argument you might have with one other person. So the Buddha talks about opinions as views. And one of the ways he wrote about views was, it's a thicket of views, a wilderness of views, a contortion of views, a writhing of views, a fetter of views, and all of these lead to suffering. So I just love that description, because it feels so visceral. You know, I feel like I'm stuck in a thorny bush or something, full of all my thoughts that I think are so right. And so anyway, that's just a little kind of introduction about what my thoughts have been about opinions lately. And I've seen this come up a lot since the pandemic started, the way people have kind of grasped on to different information. And in the, you know, in the beginning, we were told that we should wear, you know, latex gloves every time we left the house and wash all our groceries down with some kind of disinfectant before we brought them inside. And then they told us, no, we didn't have to do that. And I've just watched myself and people around me kind of ebb and flow with all this different information. And I also see how myself and other people, we kind of pick the information that makes us feel most comfortable and that fits our view or our opinion of things and kind of grasp onto that in a sometimes self-righteous way. So I've been thinking about like, why do we do that? What's underneath that when we feel like, well, these are the behaviors that are the correct behaviors and what somebody else is doing is incorrect. And I think what's underneath a lot of it is fear, and especially around the pandemic, because it's been such a new first experience for all of us, or at least most of us. I think it just has brought up a lot of fear. And as humans, when we're afraid, we tend to close down around the different issues or topics, or close down around our thoughts and our opinions, and we cling more tightly to what we think is right. And now I'm seeing that also come up with the vaccine. You know, people who are getting the vaccine, some people are not getting the vaccine. And I think there's, again, a lot of fear that's coming up, fear of the unknown. What will this vaccine do? What are the long-term effects of it? And then what are the long-term effects of not getting vaccinated? And so, you know, as Pema Chodron writes a lot about being in the unknown and just sitting in the groundlessness of our everyday experience. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. So it takes a lot of courage to let go of the opinions and make room for other people's thoughts and experiences. And maybe when we're not hanging so tightly to our own, we might have some new thoughts and some more interesting thoughts come up. So I just wanted to give you a little, you know, format about how I've been thinking about it. And we're gonna break into dyads now. And so you can talk amongst yourselves. And the questions are, what opinions are you holding strongly to and why? And you might not know why, but you can think about it. And if you want to share anything about those two questions, and if you want to talk about something completely different, that's okay too. And we'll have about 3 minutes each. So maybe Stephen, you could give a little warning at the 3 minute mark. Thank you. People are having fun talking about their opinions. Well, hopefully everybody was able to think of at least one opinion that they could share. My partner and I had so many, we kind of struggled to even come up with a specific one. I was just thinking about how I was interpreting for a middle school class today, and the teacher was talking about how water came to the planet Earth. And there was this scientific idea about how hydrogen and oxygen were floating out in space, and then there was a supernova and they collided together, and that's how water came to Earth. And then, you know, hundreds of years later, they came up with another theory. And so it just kind of reminded me of what I wanted to talk about, of there's no such thing as a true story. Pema Chodron always says that. And I'm sure all of you have had the experience where you experience something with another person, and then when the two of you talk about it, you realize that you both experienced it completely differently. So that really supports that idea that there's no such thing as a true story. And also just with politics and the right and the left and, you know, social justice, that, you know, we can get very fundamental on the left, just like we accuse the right of being fundamentalists. So I think, you know, it's just something to really be aware of, is that kind of clinging to being right and having the right thoughts. So I just wanted to talk about a few of the antidotes to being attached to our opinions. And the number one antidote, I think this is true for all of our human experiences, is the meditation practice. Because in meditation, we're constantly watching our minds and we're observing our thoughts come up, and then we're letting those thoughts go and coming back to our breath. And by doing that, we're training our minds to create spaciousness around our thoughts. So applying that same philosophy or approach or practice, we can do that with our opinions. If we feel like we're tightening around a particular thought or view or opinion, we could take a breath, give it some space, and then, you know, see if we really need to have that opinion, or can we soften around it? Can we take a breath before we share it or yell it, or however we need to feel like we need to get it out of our bodies? So I would just, you know, continue to say practicing meditation can apply to that. And being curious, Pema Chodron talks a lot about curiosity too. So, and that kind of gets back to the book title I talked about in the beginning, Open Mouth, Already a Mistake. So maybe just kind of talking less and listening more and being curious about the truth and the ever-changing impermanence of what we think is true. And another quote by a Dharma teacher I also forgot. I love this. It's, I'm hanging out in the universe with a pocket full of treasures. And I just kind of love that image. And I think of the treasures as the Dharma teachings. And, you know, going through this life and I'm just kind of in this groundless state. And if I start getting fear come up or discomfort or clinging or attachment, I can reach into my pocket and pull out one of the Dharma treasures. And there's just always something juicy and profound that I can apply to any kind of suffering I'm having. So I feel very grateful for having the Dharma in my life. And of course, the Dharma teachers. So I'm going to end with a little quote by Pema Chodron. And this is from her book, Comfortable with Uncertainty, which is a book I love and a title I love. So I invite you to close or lower your eyes and take in the words of Pema Chodron. As people who want to live a good, full, unrestricted, adventurous, real kind of life, there is a concrete instruction we can follow. See what is. When you catch yourself grasping at beliefs or thoughts, just see what is. Without calling your belief right or wrong, acknowledge it. See it clearly without judgment and let it go. Come back to the present moment. From now until the moment of your death, you could do this. So that's a long-term practice that I invite all of us to participate in from now until the moment of our deaths. And I will end there. And I think we have a few minutes if anybody has any opinions they'd like to share or profound comments to make or questions to ask.
Well, this isn't. Oh, go ahead. No, go.
Oh, okay. Hi, thank you. I was going to say thank you. I really appreciate the talk, and I love the see what is.
I think you're muted, Jacob.
Shock. Okay. Did you hear the first part? Anyway, so thank you for the talk. Something I think Stephen said at one of our talks, which I was thinking of during yours, say only that which you know to be true. And I check myself with that one a lot. And it goes back to the opinions. You know, you're like sitting there or you want to like, you know, retort back. And sometimes I don't actually know what I'm talking about. Or I do, or I think I do, or I almost do. But it's really, that's a good, like, so I use that one to say, wait a minute. And it does help you see where things are. And it can actually lead to more of a conversation than a, you know, yelling match. So.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Share that.
Thank you. Padgett, did you have something? You're muted.
I have an opinion.
Yes. What's your opinion, Kelly?
Sometimes I often like it when people say that this is opinion instead of saying blah 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 blah. They say, "Oh well, I have an opinion that it's good to take vitamin C when you're sick." You know, it just I don't know. It makes you see that there's actually, I don't think there's, I think everything is an opinion. So anyway.
I guess I do want to say what I was going to say, which was when, you know, I taught kindergarten for many years. I already told my partner this, but we spent this big section on discriminating between fact and opinion. And I would get so frustrated when kids wouldn't understand the difference between saying like the Atlantic has salt water in it and the Atlantic is the most beautiful ocean there is. But now I see adults actually don't often really understand the difference. Like when we really want something, we tend to often think it's truth. And I realized I was very hard on my 5-year-olds. But I think it is hard, like opinions and science and like really, I think that I really appreciate your talking about being curious. And I just think I need to be teachable and I think I know everything.
Ari, you said in the beginning you have an opinion about it, anything anyone would ask you. And I do too. And I don't necessarily see that as bad. And maybe slightly because in my mind I think, well, I'm not using it in a bad way. I'm not sure if that's a thing. It's kind of like right speech with opinions or something. But there's a way that I just kind of deluding myself, but there's a way that I think, sure, they asked me, someone asked me, and then I'll say, oh yeah, this. And it's sometimes, a lot of times I don't hold on to it. Like it's not like something that's so firm that I need to make people believe in. Although there are times I really need to make people believe in them. So that may be my two versions of opinions, ones that don't really matter so much. And the other ones, which may seem perfectly inconsequential to anyone else, but to me, and it's over a little tiny stuff, but over to me, it's like, no, this is the way it is. And those tighten me. I can feel it tightened. And the others, I can just kind of like, yeah, sure, have an opinion.
Yeah, I think you're distinguishing between, you know, just the way the mind works, that we do form opinions about everything. And they can be kind of fun, you know. I mean, it would be hard to have a lot of conversations if people weren't expressing their opinions about things. So it can kind of, you know, be playful or fun or interesting or educational. So it is the relationship, and I think you're pointing that out. So when we get closed down about our opinions is when we're going to get in trouble.
Ari, thank you so much. We've got to wind down. So